Okay, now if you'd please stand for the reading of God's Word. There are three verses that we want to read from the book of 1 Corinthians. This is one of Paul's epistles to the church at Corinth, the church that he had founded on his second missionary journey. Verse 26, verse 30 and verse 40. What then shall we say, brothers? And I've pointed out before that when Paul writes as he does, he's including the whole congregation. So what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, everyone or each one has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. Then jump down to the verse 30, first part of it. Is it verse 30? Or it should be verse 33. My bad, 33. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. And then verse 40. But everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Other than Sid, who knows church history, and Bruce, who downloaded the thing, who was the composer? It was Beethoven. And what is it? Beethoven's fifth what? Beethoven's fifth symphony. Did you hear the different instruments, the different sections playing, each one just keep overlapping and going back and forth? Beautiful song, and I enjoy classical music, but it's a powerful word picture to illustrate Paul's point in our text. Paul envisions, in verse 26, Paul envisions a church where different instruments all have a part to play in producing an incredible symphony to God. And so I began reflecting on this analogy of the orchestra, the symphony, and just so you know, I didn't make this up. Paul actually initiated it first in chapter 14. If you go back earlier in the chapter, verse 7, Paul says, even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the flute or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So I figured if Paul could start mentioning musical instruments, it would be totally appropriate for us to use the idea of a symphony and an orchestra to provide a word picture for a message that God laid on my heart. Now, the message itself is not a very lengthy one, but it's chock full of practical application. Because as I began to reflect on this analogy of symphony and orchestra, a number of truths from God's word began to pop out. And so I want to work with you through some of these truths, and we'll start with the first one, and that's each member has an instrument to play in God's orchestra. In chapter 14, verse 26, Paul says that when you come together, and he's not just talking about coming together for a potluck dinner. He's not talking about coming together to do a craft fair out in Middleburg. He's talking about coming together in worship. And he said, when you come together, every one of you has a hymn, and he starts listing a number of items. Now, when he says every one of you has, it doesn't mean that every member has a hymn. It means that different people have different things that they bring to the service. Everyone or each one has. This flows out of what Paul talks about two chapters earlier in chapter 12, where he says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So each one of you, if you will, has a musical instrument, has an instrument that God has called you and gifted you and is desiring for you to play in his orchestra. Paul did not envision a church that was pastor-centered, but he envisioned a church that was Jesus-focused and body-centered. Now, Paul's not opposed to a preaching elder bringing the word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and actually much of 1 Timothy is a leadership manual. He expects that there will be those elders who will devote themselves to the preaching and are to be compensated for that. So he's not saying kick the pastor out. Pastor has a role, but really if you take seriously Paul's teaching in Ephesians 4, the pastor gets paid not just to preach, the pastor gets called to train you to do ministry. And so Paul doesn't see a church where the church spectates while the professionals do the job. Paul probably would not be against a worship team leading us in 5 or 6 songs. He was a Jew. He did worship in the temple where they had choirs. He did worship where they had orchestras and bands, if you will, doing their musical selections in the temple. But Paul envisions not just that. He envisions not just a couple of people, just a few selected professionals doing the job, and everybody else just sitting there going, okay, I'll sing. I guess that's my part. He envisioned a service in which everybody comes willing, able, and ready to take part in doing something in the service. How would that change the way you prep for Sunday morning? If I said to you, Doris Warner, next Sunday I anticipate that the Father wants to use you in the service, would that change the way you prepare for Sunday? For some of you, if I said that, you'd be running for the bathroom because you're going to get sick. Oh, me? Some of you might get mad. We pay you to do that. Some of you may be, really? Think about how church would change if we were open to the Holy Spirit conducting the service in a way that you've got to be ready when it's your turn to play. What if the Holy Spirit spoke to you during the week, during your times of devotions, and God gave you something that he said to your spirit, this one's good, and I want you to share that on Sunday? I want to have the kind of service that I read about in the scripture. I know that God is going to do some amazing things in Schoharie County. I haven't lost that hope or vision. This last week, for 2 days, I was up in Syracuse at coaches training. And it was a wonderful experience. They're training us to be able to help churches and individuals be able to move forward in Christ. But it was also the powerful experience that we had that I did not anticipate. They had, as part of the exercise on Friday, that we went into a room and they had pictures all over a table. And we had to choose a picture that symbolized where we are now and then choose another picture to symbolize where we believe God will call us a year from now, if the Lord tarries. And so I went in there. They'd asked us to pray ahead of time, and I went in there. And, you know, these people are good. They know what they're doing. Word pictures, seeing words and seeing pictures, strike different parts of the brain than just simply vocalizing it. So I found a picture of a hiker on the Great Wall of China. And he's standing there, he's got his gear on, he's been walking for a while, and you see this wall that goes on forever that he's walking on. And I said, that describes where I am now. Because I'm on the move, I'm not where I was, but I'm not yet where I believe God has all that he has for me. And sometimes I think, am I ever going to get there? But I'm still moving. And as I was sharing this with them, I didn't expect this. The Holy Spirit came on me and tears began to stream down my cheeks. in this table. Because it was this sense of, Lord, you know, I'm overwhelmed at times because I know you're going to do it, but I don't always see it, but I still hope. I'm not camping out. I haven't quit hiking. I'm still believing, but when? And then the second picture I chose was a picture of a nebula in outer space. And it was ablaze with glory. And I said, Lord, that's what I believe is coming in Schoharie County. And it was so cool to watch God do the ministry. So I believe God's going to do it. But why do I share that whole story? Certainly it was to be transparent. But beyond that, it was to show you that where we're going, it will not be able to be run by one. It's got to be everybody catching a vision of being part of what God wants to do. If it depends upon one, if it is a pastor-centered thing, then when Pastor Ray can no longer, it goes beyond what Pastor Ray can hold together, it will crash and burn. But if it's based on him and all of us being obedient and available to him, then it can go as large as God keeps growing the church. So what is the instrument you're going to play? Will it be that you were in this week and the Spirit of God came on you and said, I'm going to use you in the gifts of healing on Sunday? That there's going to come a point in time in the service where you're going to be asked, the pastor's going to say, I need somebody who's been stirred with the gifts of healing this week and wants to pray for someone to be healed. Will yours be the word of revelation? Will yours be the prophetic word? Will yours be the tongues interpretation? See, we often think of service, okay, we do the worship, we do the preaching, and then maybe I'll do a tongue, or maybe I'll do an interpretation or a prophecy, and that's the extent of what I can do. There are so many things that God can do in one service because he's the infinite God. What if God gave you a new song during the week? I want you to have the opportunity on Sunday, if God so orchestrates it, that you would say, Pastor, this week I cannot get this song out, and I believe this song is supposed to be shared, but I know it's not in the worship team, and I know it's not the six songs that they have lined up. Is it okay? What do we do with it? I want us to be able to do that. Now, for some of you, you're like, oh my gosh, that could be chaos. Hold on, we have four more points. I just want to get point one across. What would happen in the way you prep for church if every Sunday you knew God could be calling you that day to play the solo? How would that change the way you do church? Pastor, I just wouldn't show up on Sunday. I'm off the hook. You're going to do that to me? I'll just worship from home and listen to you on the broadcast on the computer. Oh, come on, folks. It's God's Spirit doing it through you. You just need to be available to him. But I might blow it. Yeah, you might. I might have a wrong note. Everybody will hear me go, eh, instead of the right note. Okay, they will. But we're in this together as a family. Most orchestras that I have been part of or bands that I played of do not get the song perfect the first time out of the gate. But the conductor doesn't go, you know what? That was a bad note. Out of here. He works with. They do lessons to help them get it right so that the whole thing works together. One of the favorite movies of mine is Mr. Holland's Opus. And there's that one poor guy that can't find the beat if you paid him. And finally, that one time, he hits the drum at just the right time, and the guy stops the thing and goes, Mr. whatever his name is, he's like, you got it. And his face breaks into this biggest grin. I want you to have that joy, that excitement of, wow, I got to do more than just come and spectate today. I was able to participate in the service. So that's point one. Every one of you, every one of you has an instrument that God wants to be able to use in his orchestra selection. Number two, all members need to be tuned to the right note if the symphony is to be done right. See, just because you have the instrument doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be played properly. It needs to be tuned to the right note. The Corinthian church was not tuned. The Corinthian church had more instruments than you can imagine. They had a huge orchestra. Paul says in chapter 1, verse 7 of 1 Corinthians that they have every spiritual gift. Can you imagine That church had every spirit. He goes, you lack in no spiritual gift. They had the trumpets, the trombones, the French horns, the percussion. They had the flutes, the clarinets, the oboes. They had the tubas. They had strings. They had everything. The problem was they weren't in tune. So instead of as it was going on. They weren't in tune. See, when you have an orchestra come out, often what will happen is one player will play the one that the conductor looks at, he'll play the note, and everybody will tune to that right note. Now, the one who plays it can't decide, well, I think an A is an A today, and I think A will be B tomorrow, and I think A will be C. No, you have to tune to the standard. And we know that Jesus Christ is the standard to which everyone must tune. The Word of God is the standard that this Word made flesh gave to us, and we have to be attuned to it. And at Corinth, they weren't. In Corinth, they weren't in tune with each other. They weren't in tune with God. They were in division. I want to play Beethoven's Fifth. Oh, I don't like Beethoven. I want to play Bach. Well, I don't care. I want to play Mozart. No, no. We have to play the same song in the same key, and we have to be tuned to the right notes. But they were in division. They were divided over musical styles. I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollos, I belong to Cephas, and the spiritual ones, I belong to Christ. Not only was there division, there was immorality. Chapter 5 and chapter 6. They were fighting and bickering among themselves. When they went to the Lord's Supper, the rich were pushing aside the poor, and the rich were getting drunk and were being gluttons, and the poor were being left out. It was a mess. In fact, it was so bad that nobody in the community wanted to come to the concert. In fact, they were in danger because not only was the community beginning to question the concert, they were beginning to question the composer and wondering if the composer knew what he was doing when he produced the music in the first place. And so Paul writes and says, the one who divides, the one who destroys God's temple, God's going to take up with him. He said, you're supposed to be God's alternative. You're supposed to be new music. You're supposed to be the concert that everyone goes, whoa, I got to get a ticket there. Not like, oh, it was awful. I went horrible. Don't ever go back. They weren't in tune with each other. They weren't in tune with the standard. Everyone was doing their own thing. It sounded, rather than beautiful, it was a cacophony of mess. It was awful. It just sounded discordant. It was off. They weren't loving one another, Paul said. In 1 Corinthians 13. See, they were out of tune with love. And as a result, Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm like a clanging gong. So instead of this beautiful and the whole thing goes off. So, oh, that was awful. What are you doing? They weren't in tune. They weren't in tune with God. They weren't in tune with each other. And so when you pray during the week and you seek God during the week and you be open to what God might want you to do, make sure that you've taken time that you're in tune. Make sure you're in tune with His Word. See, not everything that pops into your head is God. Well, I think it's God. Check it out to see if it's in the musical score. If it's not in there, don't stick it in there. Simply read the score as it was written by the composer. Follow that one and make sure it's in tune. So spend time, make sure. Because we want you to have the freedom, but we don't want to turn it into a free-for-all. We want you to have the freedom to play when God calls you to play, but you've got to play what He's playing in the key that He's playing in tune with Him. Does this make sense? Okay, number three, Ben. Each member needs to be in rhythm with and follow the lead of the conductor, the Holy Spirit. How many know that you can have the right instrument and be in tune biblically, but be out of order spiritually? See, if the composer, excuse me, if the conductor, the Holy Spirit, the conductor has the liberty to take a musical piece and maybe tweak it a little bit that fits their particular personality. So maybe there's a place where they want to go a little bit faster, allegro, or a little bit moderate, andante, or even slow it down. Maybe there's a part that they want to go fortissimo, another part, no, pianissimo. You got to follow them. And I've seen people that have the right word, but they do it at the wrong time, and they disrupt the musical score, and it sounds awful. If the Holy Spirit is conducting like this, and it's going this way, and all of a sudden you're like, wah! Over here, and you got the right word, what's happened? You've messed up the song. See, you might have the solo, but make sure you're playing the solo at the right time. The right solo at the wrong time will mess up the musical selection. So make sure you're in tune with the Father, yes. Make sure you know that what you're going to say is biblical. It lines up with the Word. It's to strengthen the church. It's in all this. But make sure it's in an orderly fashion. Follow the rhythm of the conductor. Have you ever been in a concert where one section of the orchestra is not playing the same rhythm as another section of the orchestra? They may be playing the right notes, but they're not playing together. And you're watching, you're saying, okay, come on, conductor, get it back. Come on, guys. Listen, come on. And you're almost trying to help the conductor. Come on. Oh. And he's up there trying to get them lined up. And then sometimes they finally get it back before the song's over. And you breathe this sigh of relief. Whew, they got it. So when we have a service, and the Spirit of God maybe is having me preach a particular message, that will probably not be a time to jump up and go in a different direction. Now, if you sense it may be the Lord, go to one of the elders and let them discern from the Holy Spirit whether it's time or not. Because there's times that God will be bringing something and want to supplement. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians 14. One is standing, giving a word. If someone has something else that's supposed to come, the first one sits down, the second one stands, but it flows the way it's supposed to. See, in a musical selection, there are times that the composer will have the tempo change in the midst of the song. You might be going through a particular point, and then there's a transition point. It may even change keys. It may change speeds, it may change from 2-4 to 4-4, but could there be a lot of change? But you've got to follow the conductor and follow the composer, the musical selection. So when I suggest that I want to be in a place as a church where God can do whatever he wants, there's some requirements that go along with that. I need to know what my instrument is, I need to make sure I'm tuned, but I also need to make sure that I'm following the rhythm. Where is the conductor going? And if the conductor is going where you don't believe it should go, that's not your job. I had one person come to me years ago and said, I think God wants to go here. And I just didn't sense it. And they got mad. And said, well, it's on you. I'm like, what's the deal? If you believe something's of God, share with one of the elders. And if we're wrong, you're off the hook. It's not your job. I've had people get offended because we didn't do it the way they think it should be. Since when did you pick up the baton and become the conductor? I thought the Holy Spirit conducts the service. And he authorizes his leadership as elders to make sure that everything is done the way he desires. And if we're wrong, I'll guarantee you, God will take it up with us. True, Kurt? We're the ones that God calls that. But we want to encourage you to step out. And if you believe something's of the Lord and you're not sure of the timing, I've had people come up and whisper in my ear, I don't know what the time is for this, but I think God wants to do da-da-da-da-da-da. And Pastor, we're just going to leave that with you now. Okay. And they sit down. And I'm like, oh, Lord, now what do I do with that? Because then I have to say, all right, Father, where does this fit? What do you want to do? Does that make sense, church? Follow the rhythm. Follow the lead of the conductor. Let the conductor lead. Next one. At different times, different instruments will have the solo. rejoice with them. Rejoice with them. It's the symphony as a whole that counts. There are times that a brother or sister might be used by God and you're not. And you could sit there and feel sorry for yourself. Well, I didn't get to play today. Or, Lord, thank you that the trumpet had a beautiful solo today. Oh, Lord, love that French horn section solo today. Because what matters is the symphony as a whole. In the course of a symphony, different instruments, when you listen to Beethoven's Fifth, different sections and different instruments had different emphases. And so there's times where the winds are going to be loud, times where the brass is going to be loud, times where the strings are going to be loud, sometimes the timpani takes over. Sometimes you might have the poor tuba, where that poor tuba just sits there. One, two, three, four, two. Okay, I have 32 measures of rest. Three, four, six. Oh, wait a minute, it's going to come my turn. Okay, 32 more measures of rest. I was a string bass. I played next to the poor tubas. All I know is these guys would sit there and be counting all the time. And then they go, and then they go, and all the spit would come out. That's all I remember of the tubas. But that tuba, when it was the tuba's turn, had to play. There's times the percussion, they have a particular special percussion instrument, and they wait, and they wait, and they wait, and then finally, koosh, you know, like with the marches, they get them just right. If you're comparing your instrument to somebody else's instrument, you're going to get frustrated. Because different instruments will play more. Maybe it'll be a first trumpet, second trumpet, third trumpet. Maybe it'll be lots of notes. Maybe it'll be lots of solos and some none. But every instrument in the orchestra counts. Every instrument in that orchestra has a part and a place to be. And you have to be ready when it's your turn and the rests are done and it's your turn. Be ready to let it rip at just that right time. And then rejoice when everybody else gets to do their part. Because when it's all said and done, and the orchestra finishes, and the conductor stands aside, and everybody in the audience, quote unquote, applauds, they're applauding what they heard as a whole. They may honor temporarily this solo or that solo, but it's the sound of the entire symphony. They go, wow. See, when you look in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul said that if the gifts of the prophecy in tongues, everything was done right, when it was done, people would say, they would fall on their knees. Unbelievers would come in, fall on their knees, and say, surely God is in your midst. So if you had the healing, and you had the tongue, and you had the prophecy, and you had the revelation, and you had the miracles, and you had the word of knowledge, and all the parts together, and that unbeliever sitting there going, oh my gosh. And it's all tied together by the conductor so that everything is intertwined. They go, I need that Jesus. You follow me on that? See, last week, I did not know the songs that Alpha was going to do. I did not know that Sid had been praying and that God had led her to a direction of waiting and resting on the Lord. She's over there doing that. I pray in the morning, and I don't know where God's going to call us, but I'm over here, and as I'm listening and I'm worshiping the Lord puts on my heart Isaiah chapter 40. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I did not know where she was going. She did not know where I was going, but the conductor did. And all I had to do was be ready when it was my turn to play my instrument. And afterwards, Sid goes, that was incredible. Eileen Hughes just caught me Sunday night. She goes, you wouldn't believe this. She said, during the worship, I just had this sense, da-da-da-da-da-da. And she goes, and then you got up there and said the same thing. She goes, that was incredible. Imagine if the whole church was in on the orchestra. You'd go home going, oh my gosh, God was in the house. That was incredible. That was incredible. In a short period of time, this gentleman up here is going to be bringing a message. Not today. He's like, whoa, I'm not ready today. Relax. He caught me this morning. He said he's been working on a message that God had stirred in his heart. He said, I'm ready. There's going to come a time he's going to bring the word because God stirred his heart to bring a word for the congregation. Are you getting this? Are you getting what could happen if we caught this? When the whole church catches that I get to be part of this symphony to God? Finish with the last point, and we're done. During the week, review your notes. Practice your part. What does that mean? It means be prepping. Be spending time with the Father. You don't want to get here on Sunday morning and go, oh, I probably should have practiced. See, Benjamin plays for the jazz band in middle school. Benjamin did not practice over the summer. So when it came time, just before, but then he began to practice. And what did the conductor say to you? He said, if you
practice, you'll stay in.
If you practice, and if you're there on time and ready when stage jogs, because he has to be there at 7:10?
7:15, well, we start at 7:15 on Wednesday morning.
So he has to be ready, in their seats, ready to go. You can't wait to the last minute and then cram. Because the probability is you might miss where it's going. And the second thing that'll happen is this. We don't want you simply to walk in anointing without having the character to sustain the anointing. We don't want you simply to be able to play an instrument because you're one of those prodigies. They can just go to the piano, and everyone goes, wow. You know, like Mozart at 4. It's not just your gifting that we want. It's not just your gifting that the Father wants. He wants all of you. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is intended to penetrate every facet of our lives. God's desire is that the gospel penetrate and affect the way we think, the way we feel, the way we react, the way we talk, the way we respond. And so what I'm telling you is during the week, take the time. Lord, work in me. Lord, do what you need to, because I want my hearing to be as attuned to the conductor as it can be this week. I don't want to wait till Saturday night and hope and pray for a Saturday night special for Sunday morning. I want to begin, when you go home today, Sunday afternoon, Father, I'm prepping my heart. What do you got for next Sunday? What are we going to do next Sunday? Where are you going to go? Lord, touch Pastor Ray. Give him wisdom and grace. Lord, please touch this other one in the body of Christ. Man, because they got to play trumpets. Lord, please bless them. They're doing the worship. Lord, they got trumpet solos on Sunday. Please bless them. In other words, catch a vision that we're in this orchestra together. Prep yourself, pray for the others, so when it comes time and the Holy Spirit brings us to the service on a Sunday morning and the call to worship goes forth, you're listening for this and you get your instruments ready to play. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this word picture that can drive home truth. That we're in your orchestra with a part to play. And our prayer, Lord, is that we would catch a vision of what church can be when all the participants have an opportunity to play in the time that you see fit. Maybe trumpets today, maybe French horns next week, maybe violins the week after, maybe a quartet. We never know what you're going to do. But Lord, I want to see what you want for this body. And I want your people to catch that vision that they can be part of this symphony of praise to God. That they would turn the week, go, oh my, I get an opportunity, Lord. Prepare me, work in me. Lord, let me go over the notes, make sure I'm ready in my own heart. Lord, tune me to your standard. Oh, please, let me become so sensitive to the rhythm of the conductor that no matter where he goes or what he changes, I am there. So that when all is said and done, God is glorified. The church is strengthened and built up. And people that are unbelievers come in and go, surely God is in your midst. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.